Our next speaker is Dr. Donald Silverberg, who's come all the way from Tel Aviv in Israel, and he's a senior member of the Department of Nephrology in Tel Aviv Medical Center in Israel. And he's going to speak about correcting the mild anemia of severe resistant CHF, the effect on cardiorenal function. Thank you.
Thank you. I think this is the only talk probably in the whole bunch of sessions where half the people on this list are cardiologists. And that actually, if you believe Marshall McLuhan, that the media is the message. The message is that I think in the future we'll have to be working a great deal more with our cardiologists. And I just, to give you an example, we've been working for years in the field of pre-dialysis anemia using intravenous iron and erythropoietin. And one day my cardiologist friend, who's second on this list, Dov Wexler, called me and said, "Don, I have this patient, Rafael, who has had 3 heart attacks, coronary artery bypass. He is in severe heart failure, has been for months. He's been hospitalized 17 times in the last year. His renal function has been steadily deteriorating. It was 1.5 creatinine a year ago, now it's 3. I've been taking fluid for ascites from him every week or two, and we've been tapping his lungs because of recurrent pleural effusion. Don, I've thrown the book at this guy. He's on every medicine for heart failure. Nothing works. Now, the only thing is he has a hemoglobin of 10. Now, my cardiology textbooks tell me I shouldn't do anything about that, but maybe you can do something with him." So we started to treat Rafael, and over the period of the next few weeks, he went from a hemoglobin of 10 to 13. Rafael has never seen the inside of a hospital for 3 years. He lost 10 kilos, his effusions and his ascites disappeared, his ejection fraction doubled, and he was literally a new man. He, in fact, is jogging. And we looked at this and we said, "Is this possible? What are we seeing here?" So we went to the American Heart Association review on heart failure published in the American Journal of Cardiology, by Milton Packer and Jay Cohen and many others. In fact, there were 39 experts, 400 references. Ladies and gentlemen, there wasn't a single word about anemia, not a word, in this huge review of heart failure. And so that started us on the adventure I'm going to show you now. The mechanism is of anemia, of how anemia causes heart failure is known to you. You get hypoxic vasodilatation causing increased venous return. What really happens is you get a renal vasoconstriction. Anemia causes, through noradrenaline, a vasoconstriction. This was well shown in 1993 in the British Heart Journal by Poole Wilson and others. So you get, and you also get an elevated renin angiotensin and aldosterone. So you get an increase in plasma volume and a left ventricular dilatation. And the key is the left ventricular dilatation goes on to cause, as you see on the other side, increased wall tension. And the wall tension is what kills you, because that damages the myocytes, you go on to fibrosis, you go on to remodeling, and you go on to LVH and to death. So there's a picture of what on the left side is a normal heart and the heart of somebody who's had long-standing anemia. This is in contrast to hypertension, where you actually get a thickening of the ventricle. Here you get, in a long-standing anemia, you get a ventricular dilation. And of course, you're also stressing the heart, not just with increased volume, you're stressing that poor little heart with an increase in heart rate, an increase in contractility. This is an article, not by me, by Silberberg, 10 years ago, and he showed that if your hemoglobin, which is the normal hemoglobin is over here, if your hemoglobin is in the normal quartile, you can see your left ventricular mass index is here. This is in dialysis patients, but as your hemoglobin falls steadily, you can see your left ventricular mass index increases. And so we know from the studies in Canada and many other studies that anemia leads to left ventricular hypertrophy. LVH is present in 75% of patients starting dialysis, and LVH at the start of dialysis is an independent risk factor for mortality on dialysis. This just incidentally, we've just published looking at, as of others, the effect of correction of anemia in chronic renal failure on renal function, and we showed that in fact, as other people have shown, you can actually improve renal function by correcting the anemia, but not everybody has found this. But patients on dialysis, anemia is an independent risk factor. A fall in the hemoglobin of 1 gram per cent causes, as we've shown just now, left ventricular dilatation. There's a 42% increase in the risk for that. De novo, new cases of heart failure on dialysis, your chances for every 1 gram fall in hemoglobin are increased by 28%, for recurrent heart failure by 20%, and for mortality by 14%, so that anemia is a cause of death. Anemia is a killer. And we also know that when you treat the anemia, you can improve the cardiac output, cardiac index, left ventricular end diastolic diameter, interventricular septum, left ventricular posterior wall index, and left ventricular mass index. All this is known on dialysis. But what about before dialysis? And as I say, we were appalled when we realized that at least the American Heart Association didn't think there was really any importance to anemia at all. So recently, however, as a matter of fact, we've just seen the data from Dr. McClellan. It's the first time I've seen that data, by the way. I almost fell out of my seat. I didn't see it before. That the lower the hemoglobin, the higher the mortality in these patients. And this isn't dialysis. This is just heart failure. In the current issue, which came out today of the Journal of American College of Cardiology, the SOLVE group, which is a study from Boston, a huge study of 7,000 patients with heart failure, they've demonstrated, as you can see, that during a mean follow-up of 33 months in heart failure, the mortality was 22% for those with a normal hematocrit of more than 40, 27% for those with a mild reduction in hemoglobin, and 34% for those with hematocrit of less than 35. So this and Dr. McClellan's data are practically the only data in the world on that subject. Now, when we saw this one case of Rafi that I told you about, this really dramatic case, we said and says, hey, is anemia common in heart failure? Nobody's talking about it. Certainly it's not listed in the American Heart Association journal. So we went and we pulled the records from the 142 patients in our outpatient cardiac department. We have a heart failure department. And sure enough, what we found, as you can see on this slide, as you go from mild heart failure, New York Heart Association 1, to severe heart failure, obviously the left ventricular ejection fraction falls. That's known. But what really knocked us for a loop was, in fact, we found that the hemoglobin fell steadily from 14 down to 10 as you go from mild to severe heart failure. That was not in the literature. We couldn't find anything about that. Dr. McClellan has showed it now, but this was not in the literature. And we found, of course, which is in the literature, is that as you go from mild to severe heart failure, your serum creatinine in the blue went up. Well, that's been known. That wasn't new. But the anemia and we thought we were crazy. And then I was very pleased. I kept looking through the internet. We finally found this paper, which came out a month ago from Liverpool, which Wisniacki looked at 201 patients with heart failure in the community, and he found just what we found, that we found that 55.6% of all our patients with heart failure were anemic, steadily increasing as the heart failure got worse, from 9.1% in the mild cases to 79% of the patients with severe heart failure had a hemoglobin of less than 12, and he found almost exactly the same. So we felt maybe we weren't crazy after all, and today we heard from Dr. McClellan the same thing. But in the British study, by multivariate analysis, the severity of congestive failure was independently related. This was an independent risk factor for the level of hemoglobin, independent of hypertension, sex, atrial fibrillation, and medications taken. Now, in a study that was done in a hospital just outside Tel Aviv, where they looked at another group, patients with just cardiac coronary ischemia, not heart failure, patients with came into the hospital with angina, heart attack, And what they found is those who were anemic did much worse than those who weren't. This is just the preliminary data, and they show that, sure, that acute ischemia, as you see, was found in 44% of the patients who were anemic, but only 26% of the patients who weren't. And myocardial infarction was twice as common in those with anemia, heart failure twice as common, arrhythmia is almost three times as common, and the mortality rate more than three times. So that not only in heart failure, but in patients with ischemic heart disease, that the cardiologist is quite content for him to go along with a hemoglobin of 10. A hemoglobin of 10 is a killer. And that's a message that we've somehow have got to get to our cardiologists. Nephrologists don't have any trouble with that anymore. And all this was known from the animal studies. Patients with ischemic heart disease and congestive failure are more sensitive to lower levels of hemoglobin than those without ischemic heart disease. The data from Carson, from Nelson, from Hebert, so much data in the literature and in animal studies that the ischemic heart is sensitive to anemia. One, artificially induced coronary stenosis in dogs and reduced coronary blood flow causes myocardial ischemia and heart failure to a greater extent with anemia. You can take a dog and bleed him down to a hemoglobin of 2 before he'll get heart failure. But if you block off his coronaries, he'll go into heart failure with a hemoglobin of 9. And when you treat the anemia, his heart failure will improve. So anyway, with this in mind, we then performed a prospective uncontrolled intervention study where we took 26 anemic patients, hemoglobin 10 to 11.9, mildly anemic, not a big deal, with severe congestive failure despite being treated with maximally tolerated medications. These were patients that were treated by cardiologists. They threw the works at these patients. This was not undertreated heart failure. These were patients in whom the cardiologist had failed, and the only thing that they had left was to send them to us for treatment of the anemia. And we tried to raise the hemoglobin to above 12 by erythropoietin and intravenous iron. The study lasted 7.2 months. They were given about 5,000 units per week subcutaneous of erythropoietin and about 180 milligrams per month of iron intravenous. And in the blue, you see in the yellow on top, you see the hemoglobin, which rose from 10 to 12. The iron saturation went up. The New York Heart Association in yellow, with 4 being the worst, they were on death's door, these patients, and it improved remarkably, and the dose of oral furosemide fell dramatically, and the dose of intravenous furosemide on the bottom in the blue just disappeared. There was they didn't need any more intravenous furosemide. Most dramatically was the fall in hospitalizations. These patients were spending all their time in hospital, and the one thing that happened when you treated their anemia, as Alan Collins just showed in his slides and with his group, the hospitalizations in these patients fell to practically zero. These are the most grateful patients I have seen in all my 40 years of medicine. The ejection fraction increased from 27 to 35%. That's the kind of a response you get from a coronary artery bypass. And here we were doing the same by an injection every week. The other point as nephrologist, which, and I spoke to Barry Brenner about this the other day, these patients were losing renal function at the rate of about 1 ml per month with their heart failure. I don't see where it's written in any textbook that heart failure is a common cause of progressive renal failure. I think it's a very common cause of progressive renal failure. These and a group in Rotterdam have shown the same. They have exactly the same data. Patients with heart failure uncontrolled are losing renal function at the rate of 0.95, about the rate of 1 millimeter per month, per minute per month. And once you control them with all these medicines and control their anemia, this deterioration stops or slows down dramatically. We now have a new form of therapy for preventing progression of chronic renal disease. Treat their heart failure. To verify this, we then performed a prospective randomized controlled study, 32 anemic patients, hemoglobin 9 to 11.5, with severe heart failure despite being treated with maximally tolerated medication for more than 6 months. We gave 6 of them the same therapy, subcutaneous erythropoietin and IV iron, 16 patients that we did not treat. They were treated for an average of 8.2 months. Average dose of erythropoietin was the same, of iron was the same. The first paper was published in General American Cardiology last June, and the second one this June, if you want to read it. 4 of the 16 patients in the control group died. We felt terrible. We stopped the study because and their deaths were considered to be at least partially related to the unrelenting heart failure. This was in the control group. There were no deaths in the 16 patients in whom we treated the anemia. On the left, this is the anemia, the first one. And you can see the hemoglobin went up in the treated group and remained the same in the untreated group. That's hemoglobin. The second one is serum creatinine. In the treated group, the serum creatinine did not change, whereas in the control group, the serum creatinine worsened. Again, we had evidence that progressive uncontrolled heart failure causes progressive renal failure. The third of those slides is the ejection fraction, which improved in the treatment group and deteriorated in the control group. The fourth was the New York Heart Association class, which again, as in the uncontrolled study, showed an improvement in the treated group and no change in the control group. And the fifth was the dose of oral furosemide, which practically dropped out of sight. We had to reduce the dose. If we hadn't reduced the dose of furosemide, they would have fainted from volume depletion. And in the control group, the need for oral furosemide went up. And the same thing with the IV furosemide. It went down to practically zero in the treated group. And you have to do that. You have to reduce the dose or you're going to be in big trouble. And went up in the other group. And the number of hospitalizations, as in the controlled study, just fell dramatically in the treated group and worsened in the untreated group. Now, we have followed now 150 patients with renal failure and anemia in our department. Ladies and gentlemen, 83% of these patients are heart failure. I don't know what you're seeing with anemia, but what we're seeing with patients with renal failure and anemia are patients in heart failure. Maybe because our cardiologists all over Israel are sending their patients to us because they've seen the rather dramatic effects. But maybe this is in fact true. Maybe the majority of patients with anemia and renal failure are patients in heart failure, and you never know because you don't get echocardiograms. You don't really evaluate their cardiac status. And maybe if you did, you'd find it's not the 20 or 30% that some people think, that the majority of patients with chronic renal failure and anemia, in fact, have heart failure and need intensive, first of all, need a diagnosis and need intensive therapy. The majority had systolic dysfunction. And the cause of it, 86% of them had ischemic heart disease, half of them are hypertensive, half of them hyperlipidemic, half of them diabetic. I'm not saying that diabetes doesn't contribute, but I'm saying that diabetes contributes through the damage to the heart. So, but in fact, as in all heart failure, the majority of patients with heart failure in the community are ischemic heart disease, 78.6%. That's every study shows that. Hypertension by itself, without ischemia, is responsible for about 10%. That's also in the literature. Valvular heart disease, 7%, and idiopathic cardiomyopathy, 4%. As I say, the hemoglobin went up, the creatinines went up, the hematocrits went up, the creatinine stayed the same, and we again showed the same slowing of fall of the renal failure. In fact, an improvement in renal function. 28% of the patients, in fact, there was a fall in creatinine. 51.6% it stayed the same, and the creatinine only increased in 19%. The New York Heart Association in all of our patients, in majority of patients, has improved. The ejection fraction has improved. The number of hospitalizations has fallen. 5% required dialysis and 7.9% died. Why do patients with heart failure get anemia? Part of it may be something that is the cytokines. We know that heart failure causes an increase in TNF-alpha, interleukin-1, interleukin-6. These things interfere with erythropoietin. You may have erythropoietin levels that are quite high, but they don't work because all these cytokines released by the damaged heart don't allow the erythropoietin to work. This is the anemia of chronic disease. You see the same in rheumatoid arthritis. You see the same in ulcerative colitis. You see the same in Crohn's disease, any chronic inflammatory state. And heart failure acts like a chronic inflammatory state. ACE inhibitors also may cause an interference with erythropoietin. Part of it is just renal failure. And of course, aspirin may cause GI blood loss. And the last thing is that proteinuria, you can lose a lot of erythropoietin in the urine. I'm on my last slide. So conclusions, preliminary evidence suggests that erythropoietin IV iron in patients with heart failure improves anemia, improves iron status, improves congestive failure, improves the left ventricular ejection fraction in New York Heart Association, decreases hospital utilization, lowers diuretic doses, and slows the deterioration of renal function. Basically, we have a triangle of heart failure, renal failure, anemia. What people didn't realize is that heart failure itself can cause anemia, and the treatment of the heart failure can improve the not only the renal function as well. The fate of the dialysis patient is cast in the pre-dialysis period. Congestive failure is a common and crucial contributor to the progression of renal failure. Treatment of anemia in patients with congestive failure may improve both the cardiac and renal function. To save the heart and the kidney, treat the anemia. Thank you.